Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. By your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply all my needs. You are more than enough, more than enough, so much more than enough for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, by your stripes I've been set free. Jehovah Shammah, you are with me. You supply all my needs. You are more than more than enough, so much more than enough for me.
Let's all stand. Thank you for the revelation of the compound names of Jehovah. Glory. Open the eyes of my heart. We'll change over the service this evening. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up.
Sing it to him now.
Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
that's your desire tonight. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord. And I kept forgetting that Brother Wade was not going to be here. I was like, I thought I was going to see him, but he's gone. Preaching up in Ohio. So we'll just remember them in prayer. I'm going to speak on a little. During Sunday school, we're making our way over to Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews. And so I want to just speak on that topic tonight and read from Hebrews chapter 7. And let's also, when we go to the Lord in prayer, remember Terrence has lost some keys. So we're going to pray about that. Lord God, we're so grateful to be able to gather together around your word once more, Lord Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just bless them up in Ohio, Lord, as Brother Wade ministers to them, Lord. And we know that you're here with us now, Lord. We you're a present help in time of trouble and in time of need. And we know you're with us, Lord Jesus, because you said you never forsake us. You never leave us, Lord. Thank God we've got those promises, Lord Jesus. And tonight we've got many needs here, and they've got many needs up there in Ohio, and the bride has many needs all around the world. And we know you're still a present help that can address, you can meet every need that we have, Lord. And so we just ask, Lord, that you, Lord, be at liberty to move among us tonight, Lord Jesus, and open up this word, Lord. Lord, maybe tonight, Lord, many things will be said that are maybe difficult to understand and difficult to think about with our intellectual mind, Lord, but Lord, surely, Lord, you can come down and quicken the words that we read and make them leap off of the page, Lord. And because we believe tonight that we're serving a supernatural God that can do miracles, Lord. And I think now, Lord Jesus, of all the many times, Lord, that you've reached out and saved the lost, Lord, and you've reached out to the ones that went away from you, Lord, and you've reached out and found things that have been lost, Lord, and all the different times that I've lost my keys and I've lost things, Lord Jesus, I've lost my umbrella and you found it. I've lost so many things, Lord Jesus, and many testimonies here tonight, Lord Jesus, of times that you found things, Lord. And Lord, you know where those keys are that Terrence lost. And we're just trusting you, Lord Jesus, to put in his mind where they are, or just make them appear before him, or whatever you need to do, Lord, because we're serving a miracle working God, and we're serving somebody we're serving a God that can move up on the scene, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we have a need. He's got a need tonight, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll move up on the scene and address it, Lord. Meet that need now, Lord. We just ask, Lord, as we join our faith together, Lord Jesus, that you'll meet every need here tonight, Lord God, that we'll leave this place, Lord, feeling like you spoke to us, Lord, that we came and we got what we needed, Lord. We ask this blessing upon your word tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 7 says, Paul talking about Melchizedek, and he says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, if you go back and Paul, you know, when you talk about Melchizedek, it's can be a little bit confusing, first of all, because there's two places in Scripture that refer to God coming and talking to Abraham in the flesh and sitting down with him and talking to him. And so a lot of times, you know, you start talking about Melchizedek and you're talking about maybe one or both of those events at the same time. The first time that Melchizedek came to talk to Abraham was after Abraham had gone to rescue Lot. And, you know, the Bible talks about, so Lot was Abraham's brother's son. And Abraham heard that Lot, he got captured by all of those kings, Chedorlaomer and the different ones. And he went to go rescue Lot. And the Bible says that when he went to rescue Lot, he says he heard his brother got captured. And, you know, Brother Branham would comment about how that, you know, when you hear God, isn't it just wonderful how he referred to him in the Scripture as his brother? My brother, I heard my brother got captured. He was his brother's son, his nephew, but in the Scripture it refers to him as his brother. And you know, whenever you hear about somebody going astray or getting lost, something within your heart cries out for him to try to go out and rescue him. And so that's what Abraham did. He got up and he went after Lot to go capture him. And the way that Brother Brown illustrates it is he was tearing down all the things that would be in somebody's life. He went out and with his sword, and he began to bring about a deliverance in Lot's life. And Brother Branham would dramatize it and say he was killing all that lust and all the different things that are in people's lives. And he was going after Lot to rescue him. And so when after all of that battle, you see, you go through times where you're battling things out, and like Brother Wade's been preaching on the life of sanctification, when the Holy Spirit begins to move in your life and things begin to leave you. But then after the battle's over, you're battling it out, you're wrestling with it. But after the battle's over, then you're able to commune with God. And so after the battle was over with Abraham, he sat down and the Bible says he sat down with all these different kings, with the king of Sodom and all the different kings that had fought with him. And he sat down but you know, here come this one king, the king of Salem, which we know is Jerusalem. And the king of Salem rolled up, strode up, walked up and sat down, and he brought bread and wine and sat down with Abraham, and they had communion. And you know, later on in the story, you find out that after Abraham had gone through some more struggles and God had brought him, gave him a promise of a son, that you find out that man walked up to Abraham, and he had two men with him, and he was walking up, there was three men, and Abraham walks up, and this time Abraham looked at him and he said, I know who that man is, because I've had communion with him. I know who he is. You see, when you, and Brother Bram will lay out in this sermon, who is this Melchizedek, that every son of God in this age is going to go through the same journey that Abraham did. It's got to play out the same thing, that you've got to meet Melchizedek as well. And how are you going to meet him? You're going to meet him in the flesh. And you see, now Brother Bram said, to think of this great person, this great question that arose all down through history. Who was this man that came to meet Abraham? Think of this great person, Brother Ram said, of how great this man must be. And now the question is, who is this man? Who is this man, and how does he relate to Jesus Christ? Who is this man, and how does he relate to God? What role does he have? He came. Is it just like he was fulfilling the role of a priesthood, or is he a person that we need to know about? And see, when this story begins to unfold, the picture begins to unfold of really how God expresses himself, and God's attributes being on display, and how God moves, and how God would manifest himself in this day. Brother Brown would say, some say it was a myth, it was a priesthood, and you know, because many people could not identify who Melchizedek is. And yeah, it seems like so many times down through scripture and down through story, down through the seven church ages, when God moves on the scene, people don't realize what's happening. And they don't realize who that is that's talking to them, who that is that's moving on the scene. How they didn't realize when the pillar of fire was taken with Brother Branham, they didn't realize that who that was speaking through him when he would say, this isn't William Branham. This is, I'm the one that raised Christ from the grave, and actually spoke out through that man's lips. And they failed to recognize that this message that we're hearing is not just some kind of denominational idea, but it's direct from the throne of God. So Brother Ram said it was a person. It was a man, a personality, an eternal person. So, you know, when you start thinking about a personality, the world has got the Godhead all mixed up, because they, like that Jew that Brother Man was talking to, he said, you can't take God and slice him up into three pieces and hand him to a Jew. That just won't work, because a Jew understands that there's only one God. But you see, if you could begin to understand that God, who is this Melchizedek, answers that question. How does he relate to Jesus, and how does he relate to you? How does he relate to those believers on the day of Pentecost when God put his life in them? You see, it's always one personality. And when you begin to understand that God, it can manifest himself in different ways and express himself in different ways, express himself in a pillar of fire, express himself in the man Christ Jesus, express himself in a body of believers, but it's always one personality. And when his life begins to express in you, that one personality begins to take over your life, and your life and your works and your actions and your doings begin to express that same personality. Because it's not three gods. It's not three God. It's not a Father and a Son and the Holy Ghost dueling one another. You know, when you have a person, everybody in this room tonight, everybody in this building has a different personality. So if we were to ask you, how would you run your family? How would you run a job? How would you run a business? How would you run the church? Everybody's going to have their own ideas and their own opinions, because we're each different personalities. So you see what chaos that would be if the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost were all different personalities. They wouldn't be able to agree with one another because they've all got different personalities. That's even why Brother Ram said God sends up one prophet at the time, one messenger at a time, because one might want to do things a little bit different just because of their nature, their characteristic, because they're a personality. And so if you have a concept of God of the three different people or three different personalities, your concept of God is all skewed. But what a freedom it gives tonight as we're sitting here to know that if God is one God and he has one personality, that if that personality can be manifest, was manifest in Jesus Christ and in the pillar of fire and in Brother Branham's life, and that personality is manifested in your life, it will act the same way and do the same thing. He said, that's why he said he gave power to the church to cast out devils and power to do signs and wonders and power to live a Christian life. Because it's the same personality, the same person living in you that lived in Jesus Christ, the same person that lived in Jesus Christ was in that pillar of fire. Because, and you see, that's the mystery of Melchizedek unfolding, that there was a life behind that flesh that came and talked to Abraham. There was a person, the same personality that's manifested all throughout the scripture was the one that came and talked to Abraham. Now, Brother Ram said he was God because he's the only person that can be immortal. And now God changing himself into person. Now, that's what I think. I love this sermon. Who is this Melchizedek? Because it's got some wonderful nuggets like this one. God changing himself into person. In other words, God manifesting himself, changing his mask to display himself in different ways, at different times, to different people, changing his mask so that, you know, maybe you meet God one day veiled in a little sister, veiled in a little brother that sits down and talks to you about the scripture. Maybe you meet God when you turn on, listen to the tape and the voice of God echoes to you through the tape player or the MP3 player or whatever it is. And you're listening, though it's coming through the mouth of clay, lips of clay, but it's the voice of God, that same personality. Brother Ramos said, we find that many people teach us three personalities in the Godhead. So you cannot have a personality without being a person. It takes a person to make a personality. And what is a person? A personality is the combination of characteristics or qualities that form an individual's distinctive character. In other words, your personality is what makes you who you are. Your personality is the temperance that controls when somebody smacks you in the face or spits at you. Your personality is the virtue that can flow out of you, that it's not just stopped up like the water flowing into the Dead Sea until it becomes dead, but it actually there's life within you that you have a past that you can pass it out to somebody else. See, I'm talking about the same personality that was in Jesus Christ can be on display today. The same godliness that was in Jesus Christ, the same brotherly kindness, all of those things make up the personality of Jesus Christ. And so you see what the statue of a perfect man does, that it's actually expressing outwardly what God did inwardly to you through the new birth. The statue of a perfect man is his works on display, that something happened on the inside and something is being expressed, the expressed image of his person. And we find out, Brother Branham said, that this person had no mother, no father, no mother, no beginning of days or ending of life. It was God in Morphe. So now we're starting to begin to understand the traits of God and the characteristics of God, that God can display himself in a lot of different ways. Now, I looked up the definition of Morphe online from Philippians chapter 2, and somebody said, I don't even remember where I got this from. It was a website. I thought it was a pretty good definition. They said English doesn't have any exact equivalent of Morphe. This is maybe one area where it would be nice if you could read the original Hebrew and really get what the original Greek. But it says unlike form in English, Morphe doesn't mean shape. It's a philosophical term that means the outward expression of an inner essence. To put on display so you can see what's taking place maybe behind the veil. Like, for example, Jesus said, no man can know the Father except through the Son. No man can know him except through me. In other words, he was the outward display of what all the things that make up that, we'll say, unknowable God, the mysterious God, the things. How would you know what God's purpose was? How would you know what his plan was, what was in the back part of his mind, all the things that he had thought about, all of his great plan, except God had expressed himself through the Word, had enmorphed himself. And you see, when God enmorphes himself, he changes his mask so that what's behind that veil, what you cannot see, he puts it on display. See, now when God begins to enmorph, when he enmorphed himself in Jesus Christ, when he enmorphed himself in Melchizedek, we'll go back to Melchizedek. When he enmorphed himself in Melchizedek, and he put himself on display so that now he could come down and fellowship with Abraham and that unknowable God, the God that was past finding out. Now Abraham's sitting there having a talk with him and eating bread and wine and fellowshipping with him. And the same thing when all the Pharisees and Sadducees had no idea what God really wondered what their purpose was in life, but then God enmorphed himself in Jesus Christ and came down in a little manger and put himself on display, and now he could sit there and wash people's feet. He could sit there and have communion with them. He could die on a cross, and now that unknowable God is on display, and what he had thought before the foundation of the world begins to be displayed. You see, what enmorphy means is it's the expression of something that you can't understand. And when it's expressed, you begin to be able to understand it. That's why Philippians chapter 2, where this word enmorphe comes from, says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was in the form of God. And what does that mean? That means he was the very expression of God, the very image of God. God put on display so that you would know who God is, so that you could understand God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. So he was in the form of God, but he lowered himself down to be the form of a servant, to come down and be made in a little baby in a manger. And the Bible says, and made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Brother Brown said the Greek word there in morphe means that one person is changing his mask to make him some other character. Now, he's not changing his character, but he's making himself some other character. He's changing his mask. You ever see one of those, maybe a collage of an actor that's been in a movie, a lot of movies and stuff, and it shows how that in one movie or whatever they were a pirate, and another they were a sophisticated businessman with a tie on, and they're changing the portrayal, and see, that's exactly how God can portray him. He can enmorphe himself. He can display his attributes in a businessman at work, in a minister behind the pulpit, and a little child has just received a new birth. He can put himself and put him on display, just like he came down and displayed himself and morphed himself in Melchizedek and morphed himself and put him on display, the fullness of the Godhead bodily in Jesus Christ. And in morphing himself again in this last day in the bride, who will be the fullness of God made visible among the people yet again. So it's amorphy means to change his mask. And Brother Brown said that's what God did. It's the same God all the time. It's the same God all the time. The same personality. You think about that in every home tonight, in every Christian home, in every church where there's a real God-called minister preaching, there's real God-called people preaching, listening to the services. It's the same personality working in them. It's the same God moving in them. It's the same God all the time. God in the form of the Father, the Spirit, the pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us, and morphed, brought out so he could be seen. brought out so he could be seen. Now, I maybe want to bring that home tonight, because when he puts himself, his life in you, and you go into the workplace with your little lunch pail and your food out at lunchtime, and you begin to pray over it where everybody else is laughing at you and mocking you, that is God on display, made visible so that others can look at your life and look at the personality of your life and look at the characteristics of your life, and know that you're serving God, and it actually puts the unseen God on display. You think about how great that is, that God allows us to play a role. He allows us to preach the gospel where he maybe could just come down with a trumpet and just ba-da, 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 and everybody would believe. But he allows us all to play a role in it. The pillar of fire, the same God was made flesh and dwelt among us in Morphe, brought out so he could be seen. And now that same God is the Holy Ghost. That same God is the Holy Ghost. So you see, now there's why it's so important to understand Melchizedek. Who was that Melchizedek? Because if you can understand Melchizedek, you can understand how God displays himself and how his attributes are manifested. Brother Branham will say, now, notice, like the sculpture, he hides with a mask over it. Like, look, see what God does. He veils things. He veils it so you don't quite understand it, and then he removes the veil. See, he said it's like a sculptor keeping his piece of work all covered over until the time he takes the mask off of it, and there it is. And that's what the Bible has been. It has been a work of God that's been covered up, God in morphing himself, masking himself, acting in different characters, moving in different people down through history. It's been a work of God that's been covered up, and it's been hid since the foundation of the world, and it's sevenfold mystery. And God promised in this day, at the age of this Laodicean church, he would take the mask off the whole thing and we could see it. What a glorious thing. So now if he takes the mask off and takes the mask of the characters and everything and takes the mask off, then what are you going to see? You're going to see the one that's moving behind the mask. You're going to be able to see the personality, the characteristics, and the character of that one who's been behind the mask all along. It hadn't been Brother Bob or Brother Wade or go through all the church, all the different ones sitting here, but it's the one that's behind the mask doing it, moving. It's his characteristics and his personality moving in the church. So that's why Brother Bram said that was God above us, God with us. Now it's God in us, the Holy Spirit, not the third person, but the same person. The same person all the time, the same personality, the same characteristics, the same God. Now, he said in the beginning, God dwelt alone with his attributes, as I spoke of this morning. So that's what Melchizedek was doing. He was expressing those attributes that God thought of. An attribute, think about God existing alone, Elohim with his attributes. Elohim back before time eternal, sitting there with his attributes and alone, and he wanted to put those on display, see. That's what Melchizedek was. That's what Jesus Christ was. That's what the Holy Ghost is for, to manifest the attributes that God thought about before the foundation of the world. He said in the beginning, God dwelt alone with his attributes. As I spoke of this morning, that's his thoughts. There was nothing, just God alone, but he had thoughts. He said, now in the beginning, God dwelt alone with his attributes. As I spoke of, I already read that quote. I duplicated that in my notes. He said, just like a great architect can sit down in his mind and draw out what he thinks he's going to build. Now, you think about God, the great architect, sitting back and in his mind, it never had a new thought, never had something that just popped in his idea and in his mind. He thought, well, that would be a great idea. But his thoughts are eternal. So he's got all these thoughts and they need to be expressed. And what are these thoughts? His thoughts are, I'm going to have a bride one day. And part of that bride, there's going to be ministers and there's going to be people sitting in the pew and they're going to go out into the workplace and they're going to manifest my life. And all of that, just all of that sitting in his mind. design, waiting to be unfolded like an architect ready to build a house. Think about all these things that we preach. We're in the mind of God that there's going to be people that are lost and they need a redeemer. I'm going to come and die for them and give my life for them and fill them with the Holy Ghost, and they're going to need a way out. And I'm going to preach. I'm going to send the recipe for how to get out. And that's for them to receive the word for their day and to grow until finally they bust out of this realm like an eagle busting out of an eggshell, and they're wrapped away. And so all of that is in God's mind, and it needs to be expressed. See, that's what Melchizedek is doing. See why we need to understand about Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek is the expression of a transcendent God. And a transcendent means beyond or above the range of normal or merely physical human experience, existing apart from and not subject to the limitations of the material universe. And I say that because Isaiah in chapter 40, he said, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. How could we understand a God like that? How could we understand all those things that Isaiah chapter 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. We're like little grasshoppers, little ants in his sight. How can we understand a God like that? He's got all these thoughts, and they need to be expressed. In Jeremiah chapter 23, it says, can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Did not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? How with our little grasshopper minds can we understand a God like that? But if it's expressed, if God can come down and manifest himself through the man Jesus Christ and humble himself in a little stable and go through all the, preach the word in a way that we can understand it and grasp it, then we can begin to, our mind can be shaped so that we begin to think like he thinks, and we can begin to have his thoughts. A thought, when it's expressed, is a word. So I can have a thought. I can have a thought. And when I speak it, it's a word now that you can understand. And it becomes something you can grab a hold to. And you think that's why the Bible says in the beginning was the word, because the word was the actual expression of that thought. How could we approach to that? How could we understand it? It was in hidden in the mind of God, in the back part of God's mind, all these things that God wanted to accomplish. But then he expressed it when that Logos came out. The Logos came out in a body that you could begin to understand, because he's descending down. A thought expressed is a word, but it has to be a thought first. So it's God's attribute. Then it becomes a thought, then a word. And that's where tonight, sitting here, if the personality and the characteristics of God are manifested in your life right now, and God has filled you with the Holy Ghost, then that's proof that before the foundation of the world, before everything, that God thought about you. That, I think that's something that should make every child of God rejoice to know that, you know, we sing the songs about how when he was on the cross, we were on his mind, but you were on his mind a whole lot before that, way longer than before that. you were always on his mind. So, you know, his attributes are eternal. So that means he always thought about you. He knew that one day you were going to accept it. And he always loved you. He loves you because of that. He always knew that one day you were going to have eternal life. And so now that paints the picture. Now, in the grand scheme of things, that means you always were eternal. Now, we know you dipped down into time and you came down here and you were lost and all those things. But Brother Bram said, if you have eternal life, you always was. You always was. Those who have now, we're taking a step back and looking at the 10,000 foot view. You always were, because God, before the foundation of the world, knew that you were going to receive it. Those who have tonight, eternal life was with him and in him in his thinking before there ever was an angel, before there ever was a star. You look up at the night sky and think, before any of those stars were there, before any constellation, before any universe rolled off of the finger of God, before anything that I can see in the night sky was there, I was in his thinking. That's eternal. You think about the thought of God, that Brother Brown would say that there can't be a flea bad at size, but what he knew it. He knows everything. And that means he knew you. He knew you. He noted before there ever was a world how many times a flea would bat its eyes and how much tallow it had in it before there ever was a world. That is infinite. We can't comprehend it in our minds, but that's God. And that God thought about you before the foundation of the world. That God had a thought about you that had to be expressed. He was thinking about you, and that had to be expressed. He said, your eyes, your stature. You think about that. I want you to just really dwell on that. That maybe tonight you don't like the way you look or the way that you act, or you wish you were taller or shorter or whatever, but God thought about you before the foundation of the world. He knew what color eyes you would have. He knew how tall you would be. He said your stature, whatever you was, you were in his thinking at the beginning. And the only thing that you are is the expression, word. Right now, sitting here, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, that you are the expression of God's attribute, that attribute that he thought. And he said after he thought it, he spoke it. This is another nugget I love out of this message. Think about this. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. After he thought it, he spoke it, and here you are. Now, he spoke the worlds into existence. And the Son of Man, when he was manifested on earth, when he came on earth and was born in a stable, grew up, and he preached the gospel, and he spoke it. And I see everything that we're preaching, we're preaching what he spoke. So then maybe one day you were sitting in a church and you heard a minister speak the word, and you accepted it. And there you are, because it was spoken into existence. And Brother Brown said, you were there in his attributes. You don't remember it because you're just a part of his life. You are a part of God when you become a son or daughter of God, just as you are a part of your earthly father. That's right, you are. The male carries the hemoglobin, the blood, and when that has gone in the egg, then you become a part of your father, and your mother is a part of your father. So you're all a part of your father. Now, you see where Brother Adam's going with this as he lays this out. He's beginning to lay out this pattern that we're all part of one body. We're all part of this one thing. We're all part of the Father. We're part of him. We're part of him, and he's in us, and we all just get consumed one together in oneness. And that makes, see, we got all these attributes that God thought of, a redeemer and savior and counselor and prince of peace and everlasting father and mighty God, of deacons and ministers and prayer warriors and homemakers and lunchbox carriers and song leaders and worshipers. And all those things were in God's mind that he wants to manifest. Maybe this afternoon, just think that God, before the foundation of the world, had a picture of you, how you would be and how you would sit and what church you would go to. And he also had a picture. He had a picture in his mind, that thought of you overcoming the devil. You overcoming everything that the devil can throw at you. You could overcome the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, and young people overcoming pornography and the Instagram addiction, and overcoming alcoholism and cigarette smoking. And then as you grow up and grow in grace and knowledge, you're overcoming everything that the devil can throw at you. And God thought about that before the foundation of the world, because you were one of his thoughts. In every age, those thoughts are manifested, which is why in 1 Timothy it says that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, under the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show. In his time, he's going to make those attributes manifested. Who is the blessed and only potentate? And here's the third title of this Melchizedek, the King of Salem, the King of Righteousness. And it says here in 1 Timothy, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Why? Because it's time for the attributes of God to be manifested. The attributes of God are put on display when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're actually manifesting the life of God. So Brother Adam said then the attribute was first God, the thought, the attribute itself, all in one without being expressed. Then when he expressed secondarily, he became then the Word. And then the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. His first being was spirit, God, supernatural, all right, the great eternal. Second, he began to form himself toward flesh in a theophany. It's called a word, a body. And Brother Adam said, this then is the state he was in when he met Abraham, was called Melchizedek. So that's how he came to Abraham, the expression of all the attributes of God come down to sit with Abraham and have communion and talk to him and show him things. You know, the second time that that Melchizedek came to Abraham, he sat down and lingered with him and stood over on the hill and washed. And they talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, I believe that he was lingering with him until he really caught the revelation of what was taking place. And I believe that when God comes down, it came down in this age and manifested himself, that he's wanting to wait on you and I to catch the revelation. He's lingering with us. That's what he's doing as he moves through our midst. And you think about Abraham, who was poor and spiritually poor, but spiritually rich. And he was looking for a new Jerusalem. And here came the king of that new Jerusalem. And he met Melchizedek after the slaughter of the kings and had communion with him and blessed him that had been delivered of his enemies. Now, Brother Bram said a theophany is something that you cannot see. A theophany is something you can't see. He said it could be here, right? What's he talking about? Like behind your flesh, behind Jesus' flesh, behind Melchizedek's flesh, something working, something moving. He said it could be here right now, yet you cannot see it. It's just like television. That's in another dimension. There's another dimension that can be seen by transformation, by television. And he said, so is it that Christ is here, the angels of God are here, and someday in the great millennium to come, it'll be just more real than television or anything else because they are here. That's something I think sometimes it's kind of hard for us to grasp, that there are angels here. There's a supernatural world here that's actually moving among us right now. And you know, in one place, Brother Ram talked about how you see it sometimes in like a camp meeting or something where people really become conscious of the presence of God. And he said in one place, you'll bump up against an angel and it'll cause a reaction in this dimension. Somebody will begin to rejoice and scream and shout because they bumped up against an angel. You think even right now there's angels moving among us. There's something beyond what we can see with our natural eyes. And so Brother Brown said he reveals himself in his great form of what he claimed as he morphes himself into his servants and prove himself. Now he appeared to Abraham in morphe when Abraham was returning from the slaughter of the kings. Here come Melchizedek, talk to him. Now, see, there's when you die, you leave this body behind, but yet there's something behind this flesh, this power in this flesh. You think what a miraculous thing it is to be able to move your hand like this and move your eyeballs and think thoughts and everything, because there's more than just this flesh, this body. There's something behind this flesh that's moving it, that's powering it. So when you die, you're going to go somewhere. You know, Brother Brown told that story in this sermon. He told a ghost story. Believe it or not, Brother Brown told a ghost story. He told a story about, he said the other day in a Tucson paper, he was reading about this woman that was going down the highway at so many miles an hour, and a man in an overcoat stepped out, and she hit an old man with an overcoat on. And she screamed and stopped her car, and there wasn't nobody there. And everybody come around and said, well, years ago, there was a man that had an overcoat on and he got killed. He got struck by a car. And he was using that as an example to prove that there's a life behind the flesh. There's a life behind, there's something working behind the veil of this flesh. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, for we know that if our earthly house, if this house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we've got a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. So he's talking about when you die, you're going to go somewhere. There's going to be a body that you are in. And don't get nervous. That makes people nervous when you start talking about a body. I thank God that I believe we can nail those things down and we have the correct interpretation. You see, the theophany, the word, the expression of God's being was masked in Melchizedek. It was hidden behind that man, Melchizedek. It was hidden. That word, the theophany, it was hidden behind the flesh of Jesus Christ. The theophany, the theophany of God, the word, is hidden. It's veiled. He said, from the great beginning, spirit then came down to the word, bringing itself out. The word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out. It's always spoken out because that's what the word is. The word is the expression of that thought. So it's spoken out in morphe. Later, he becomes flesh, Jesus, mortal, to taste death for all of us sinners. And Brother Ram said, he unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. Do the same thing that Abraham did. As Abraham sat there and saw God manifested in the flesh, that theophany hidden behind the veil of that flesh, and come and sat down with him and talked to him and had communion with him. Brother Branham said, who was it? He never was born. He never will die. Who is it? It was God. Sure it was, in the foreshadow of the Lord Jesus. Certainly was, but he had to come through a woman in the order you come through a woman. So how did we come? We come from attribute to flesh. He said he was at the beginning, the word, an inmorphic body. He came in and lived in that in the person of Melchizedek. Then later, we never heard no more of Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek was the priest, but he became Jesus Christ. Now you bypass that because in that form, he knowed all things and you have never been able to know that yet. Wouldn't that be great to be able to know all things? My, so we could set one another straight. No. To know all things. You think about when Brother Brown went beyond the curtain of time, when he went over there and they were telling him what was going to happen and how things were. Because why? When they went beyond the curtain of time, now they were in a state where they could have understanding of all things. They were back to the place, had been redeemed back to the place where God wanted them to be from the foundation of the world, that to be in that place where they could know and not be restricted by these time elements and by our own thoughts and by our own ideas and our opinions and things. They were in that, back in that condition. And we bypassed that, you see. He said, but when this life is finished here, and he quotes again in 2 Corinthians, if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we've got a building of God. An house not made with hands, a tabernacle. We've got a tabernacle. He said, that's where we go. So where do we go? He said, that's where we go. That is the word. Where are you going to go with you when you die? If you've received the word and you've heard the spoken word, when you die, if you're born again now, you're going to go back to the word. He said, that's where we go. That is the word. Then we can look back and see what we've done. Boy, you think about these ones that have gone on and stepped across the curtain of time and the rejoicing that's taken place as they look back. And now they have an understanding of what happened and what we're doing down here. And now they can look back and review their life and review all the things that maybe were a mystery to them then, why they went to this church and why they went to that church and why they ended up here and these things and all that. And now it begins to be clear because they can look back. He said, now we don't understand it. We have never become the word. We've just become the flesh man, not the word. And you'll never be the word unless you was a thought at the beginning. You'll never be the word unless you was a thought at the beginning. But we've got the earnest. Y'all doing all right tonight? It's not going to bother me tonight if y'all sleep. I'm preaching to just wherever. I'm just going to lay it out. That is right. And Brother Ramon said, when this body receives the Spirit of God, the immortal life inside of you, it throws this body in subjection to God. When you receive the word and you're sitting in church and you hear and that word becomes quickened and it begins to move, what's it taking you? It's taking you back to the word. You see how the rapture happens? The rapture is such a mysterious thing, but what happens is as soon as you're born again, the rapture started and it begins transforming you and molding you and taking you back to return back to the word, to that condition where you know all things. Where you're one with God, where you're a supernatural something takes place. He said in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, what are we motivated by? That thing that's veiled behind our flesh, the Spirit of the living God. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And that's why Brother Ram said, you don't have to say, oh, if I could just quit drinking. Oh, if I could just quit. How do you quit drinking? Not because you strain real hard or you will very much just quit doing those things, but because the Word is taken over your life. And it's the Word that Word behind the veil that's doing the taking over, that's doing the living, that's doing the motivating of your members. And Brother Ryan said, just get in Christ and it's all gone. See, because your body is subject to the Spirit. It's no more subject to the things of the world. They're dead. They are dead. Your sins are buried in baptism and you are a new creation in Christ. And what is that Spirit in you? He said that Spirit is nothing in this world but the seed Word made manifest or quickened, made alive. And when the Bible said don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. There's no question. It's the earnest of our resurrection. It's the earnest of it that this body is going to raise up again. Now, you start thinking about bodies when he's preaching on the Melchizedek. Just the same as when you're born, a little baby, you come into the world and while your little body's growing in the mother, your members are twitching and jerking and things. But then when you're born, you come out screaming and there's a life that goes into that body. Now, let's just meditate on this for a little bit. I know this is Wednesday night and we get a little bit sleepy sometimes and it may be a little bit deep. But just think about this now, that when a little baby is born, that there's a life, there's a spiritual body that goes into that baby. He said that little body now, it's not alive yet. See, the only thing it is just flesh and muscles. But when it comes forth from the womb, God breathes the breath of life into it. And then it screams out. Just as sure as there is a natural body being formed, there is a spiritual body to receive it as soon as it gets here. Just as sure as that little natural body is being formed, there's also a spiritual body, a spiritual body. And Brother Ram said, then when a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a spirit babe in Christ. And then when this robe of flesh is dropped, there is a body not made with hands, neither born of a woman that we go to. When this flesh drops away, there's something that you go to where you still got hands. You still got eyes. You can still hug somebody. Because there's a body that you go to. He said, then that body returns back and picks up the glorified body when it's time for the rapture. You think now what you think when Brother Branham was laying there, when he went beyond the curtain of time and he looked back and he saw his body laying there. Well, now he's in another body, a body. And he's able to walk and hug those people beyond the curtain of time and talk to them. What is that body? The theophany body. He said that's the reason Jesus went to hell when he died and preached to the souls that were in prison. Turn back. Turn back into that theophany. Now, Jesus left his body laying there in that grave and he preached to the souls in hell. And he was in a body with hands and eyes and he could talk to them and preach to them. So he had a voice that he could speak through. He had a body. So Brother Bram said, when testing of his word is over, then we are taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It is the word there that we skipped to come right around down here to be tempted and tested. If we'd have come through that, there'd have been no temptation. We'd have known all things. That's the reason Jesus knowed all things, because he was word before he was flesh. Then we become the word. We accept God by faith, by the written word, he said. Then there is something in there. It's that eternal life. You were predestinated to it. And then, you know, he tells that story of the little chicken in the barnyard that one day heard from that mother eagle crying, the mother eagle typing the word, crying out. And he said, you heard from your theophany. What are you hearing from? You're hearing from that word that you're going back to. You're hearing from the word. Now, Brother Brown said, I know this is deep. I feel like I'm pressing in now. maybe I'll slow down a little bit. y'all might be like, don't slow down. In Hebrews chapter 2, Brother Adam said, the difference. What is that theophany? Now let's see what Brother Branham said. He said in Hebrews chapter 2, part 3, he said the difference between an animal and a man, God put a soul in a man, and he didn't put it in the animal, because the soul that was in the man is that theophany. So in other words, there's something behind your flesh that's moving your being. And when you're born again, now it's God, that personality, that same one that's been manifesting himself down through the ages. And he's manifesting those same characteristics, the same personality that was in Jesus Christ. And now it's manifested in you. And the entombment, and Brother Brown, in 1957, he said, here he goes. Where did he leave when he left? The Bible said he ascended. He went and preached to the souls that were in prison when Jesus died. He said that repented not in the long suffering of the days of Noah. His soul, his spirit, his theophany of his own being went down. And then in the entombment in 1957, Brother Ram began to sing a song during the service. He said, as Job, or he quote this poem, it was a poem. He said, as Job of old, when we hear that ashes to ashes and dust to dust, it reminds me of Longfellow who said, tell me not in mournful numbers, life is just an empty dream, and the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Yea, life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. For dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. They call it a theophany, that when we leave here, we go in somewhere else. In other words, when this flesh drops away, you're not just some wispy thing floating around, but you still got a body. You got a good body, a body that knows all things, that can still hug and can still fellowship, that can sit down with somebody. You got a body. And Brother Brown in 1957 in Questions and Answers, he said, my Jehovah's Witness friend, I'd like to ask you about that. If hell's a place, whatever you wish to call it, if that ceases at the grave, then why did he say, I'll not leave my soul in hell? Here his body was in the grave and his soul was in hell preaching alive. He was in theophany again. His soul was down there with those people that were in theophany also. What? The ones in hell were in theophany also? Because they got a body. They got a body. Just because they were in hell doesn't mean they're just a floaty, wispy thing. They got a supernatural body that they're still in that persists past your flesh dying. And he said he was witness unto them that they repented not in the long suffering. And Brother Raymond, in Questions and Answers in 1961, he said, when a baby is being formed in a womb of a mother, as soon as it's born in this world and breathes its first breath, it becomes a living soul. Just as soon as the baby's dropped into the earth in flesh, there's a spiritual body waiting to receive it. As soon as the spiritual body, the natural body, is dissolved, there's a spiritual body waiting yonder. A theophany, we call it. See? A theophany. Because as soon as that little baby is born, it's got a soul. So that if it dies, it's not just going to float off somewhere, but it's got a body. Now, I'll be closing here in just a minute. Y'all just hang on. You remember when in the story of the Mount Transfiguration, when Jesus went up on the top of the mountain, and there was two people with him, Moses and Elijah, and they weren't just floating around, but they were there in their theophany. And Brother Branham said 800 years later, on Mount Transfiguration, after those men had lived and died, he said Moses' body had been rotten for hundreds of years, but here he was in such a form till even Peter, James, and John recognized him. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, if you're an attribute of God expressed here on earth, you've got a body waiting after you leave this world. There they was, standing on Mount Transfiguration in their theophany, for they were prophets to whom the word came to. Remember when Saul went and got the witch of Endor and she called up Samuel, and there appeared Samuel to her. Saul couldn't see it, but there he was, and he wasn't just floating around. But he said about 3 or 4 years later, the king got in trouble. That was before the blood of Jesus Christ was ever shed. He was in paradise, and a witch of Endor called for somebody to come and console Saul. And when the witch saw him standing up, she said, "I see God raising up out of the earth." He entered into the theophany, which was the word. He said, "You get it?" Now he said, "Now the true revelation of Melchizedek comes into view." What? He was God, the Word, before he became flesh. God, the Word, because he had to be. No one else could be immortal like him. Behind that flesh was the soul of God working. Behind the flesh, veiled in Melchizedek. That same God that was veiled in Melchizedek then veiled himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And now, again, in this last day, he's supposed to veil himself behind the flesh of the bride in the form of the Son of Man as he's manifested. See, he said, "I had father and mother." You did too. Jesus had father and mother. But this man had no father, had no mother. Jesus had a time he started. This man didn't. What are we talking about? The flesh on the outside, the flesh, or the one on the inside that's doing the moving, that's doing the working, the theophany. Jesus had a time he started. This man didn't. Jesus, that flesh that was born. Jesus gave his life. This man couldn't because he was life. And it's the self same man all the time. He said, "I hope God reveals it to you." The self same person all the time. Who is this Melchizedek? We see here plainly the complete secret of our lives and journey and death and where we go after we die. Also, predestination is in plain view here. All these things are made plain. I just maybe want to call your attention to this. Sometimes we think, when we come to church, what we're really doing is we want to have our eyes opened up to what the scripture is really talking about. I heard somebody say one time, I like to go to a church where the preacher doesn't look at his notes that he just preaches. And so you can get in your mind all these things about what a good church service it really is. But what really is a good church service? When you can begin to understand. When you can understand. See, sometimes, like right now, it doesn't matter if there's not a lot of jumping and screaming. Because you look out of the ocean and there's a lot going on. The water is going up and evaporating and forming clouds. And it's going to make rain clouds and it's going to come down. And you don't see the water going up. You don't see something happening. But yet there's something happening. And I believe right now, even in the stillness, as the word is being preached, something's happening. Why? Because you're understanding. When you begin to gain understanding, that is what will give you victory over the devil. That's what Brother Wade's been preaching about. Maybe not so much jumping and hollering and things. Those are good. That's good to do. And many times when you really catch a real revelation of what the scripture is saying, it'll make you jump and shout and things. And we just certainly don't want to mock that. But see, what we're here for is to understand. To understand who is this Melchizedek. Even in the quiet stillness as the word is being preached, something's happening. What's happening? We're being redeemed back. We're being brought back. That's what redeem means is to bring back to its original place. And what's the original place? Where are we going back? Back to the word. That's why the scripture says that New Jerusalem is the mother of us all, because we came from the word. New Jerusalem, typing the word, that's where we come from. And we're going back to our home, which is the word. We've come from the word, and that's where we're going back to. And Brother Brown said, it's only the predestinated will be brought back. It's only the ones who God thought of before the foundation of the world. Only those thoughts in his mind that there's going to be somebody that will grow in grace, that will be born again, that will receive the message for their age, that will hear the preaching of the gospel, that will respond to the spoken word. Brother Bram said the eternal life that you had, his thought of what you was, only he said he wanted me to stand in the pulpit. He wanted you to sit in the seat tonight. Then we are serving his eternal purpose. and the one that left home only come to the earth to serve his purpose. Then after it's finished, it's brought back in a glorified state. It's matured and brought back again. So we know there's something drawing us back, pulling us back to redemption. That's why there's three pulls, because God is pulling us back to himself. Brother Ram said, we know when we walk into the presence of God, something in us tells us that we come from somewhere. Where'd you come from? From the mind of God, that he thought about you. And we're going back again by that power that's pulling on us. We're going back by that power that's pulling us. So who is this Melchizedek then? Who is this Melchizedek that's the same yesterday, today, and forever? You know, when Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with Cleopas and his friend, he was walking with them, and he was actually God, that theophany, veiled in flesh, talking to them, and they failed to recognize who he was. I wonder if the king of Sodom knew who that was when Melchizedek came up and sat down with Abraham and began to share the bread and the wine with him. They surely didn't recognize Jesus when he came. That was God veiled in flesh. And I wonder, will they recognize in this day? I wonder, do you recognize? Because when you recognize, when the bride begins to realize who she is, when you recognize what you are, then you will be an invincible army. You will be an army for the Lord that the devil cannot do anything with. And it won't be because you jumped and shouted so much, even though maybe you will, but it's because God has given you a supernatural understanding. You see, when you preach sermons like this, maybe it's not just for little babies. A little baby's not going to get much out of talking about attributes and talking about theophanies and things. But God wants you to grow to a place where this means something to you, where you don't just push it aside and say that I don't really need this. But it's something that's important to you to know who was that Melchizedek and what is his relation to Jesus Christ and what is his relation to you. Because Brother Ram said in this message, he said, who was it? He never was born. He never will die. It was God. Sure it was. And the foreshadow of the Lord Jesus certainly was. But he had to come through a woman in the order you come through a woman. And he had to come the way you come in order to bring you back to him. So we know who that Melchizedek was. But what if that same Melchizedek is manifested today? Who is this Melchizedek? As the musicians come, who is this Melchizedek to think that God could manifest himself in the flesh and the flesh, pull all that potassium and calcium around him and walk up to Abraham and veil himself in the flesh of Jesus Christ. And in this day, veil himself in the flesh of his bride and reveal himself in a form of one word body, a body of believers, this acting and doing together in accord with what the word says. I believe God is here. Let's stand to our feet. Yeah. Let's sing something.
Amen. 403. I've been changed. Amen. A flat. I've been to the water and I've been baptized. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been changed from the creature that I once was, and renewed is now my name. I've been changed, I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has his way from my life. Praise God, has been changed. Though my sins were scarlet, they were white as snow. I was bound, but today I'm free. I was lost in the darkness, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. I've been changed. I've been reborn. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has his way on my life. Praise God. Has has been changed. When at last in his presence I'll stand above, he will wipe every tear from my eyes. And I'll thank him for giving a wretch like me a new home beyond the sky. I've been changed, I've been reborn, all my life has been rearranged. What a difference it makes when the Lord has his way. All my life, praise God, has been changed.
Amen. When God get a hold of you, you'll be changed. You can't help it. Because there's something moving behind the flesh. There's something that makes this flesh come into subjection to his word. You got another song? Might as well just worship him a little bit.
Let's sing Blessed Assurance this evening. Amen. They're going to do that too.
If you have a need tonight, we'll be happy to pray for you.
It's on page 176. Blessed Assurance. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a
now, Lord Jesus. Lord, she believes you, Lord Jesus, and she's looking to you, Lord. I pray, God,
this is my story.
Lord Jesus, touch her now, Lord Jesus. Touch her little neck, Lord God, and make her well for your glory.
This
we ask it in
my
name,
soul, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission.
Let your word be fulfilled, Lord Jesus. We just ask this blessing now upon his cloth, Lord Jesus. Be with our sister, Lord. Be with our knees, Lord God. We pray in your name. Amen.
Bless you. Mercy, whispers of love. This is my story. This is my song.
Scene, the Lord, we're confessing what's already been spoken,
soul.
Lord. We believe, Lord, that you'll come down upon the scene for our sister, including Lord, as we join our faith together, believing, Lord, let it come to pass. We ask it in your name. Amen.
Perfect submission. All is at rest. Happy and blessed. watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Lord Jesus, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word in this hour. We're so grateful for the song of our life, Lord God, that you've given to us, Lord Jesus, for all these different stories, Lord Jesus. I just ask, Lord, that you'll protect all the ones, Lord, as they go their different ways, Lord Jesus, tonight, Lord, that you'll be with them, Lord. Let these words that they've heard tonight echo in their hearts, and that they might meditate upon the scripture and upon your word, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're so grateful that we've heard the voice of this prophet that you've given to us in this day, Lord God. Patch all the loose ends up, Lord God, and give us a perfect understanding of your word, Lord. We just ask your blessing upon the people now as they go their separate ways in your name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.